The Mishnayos continue to discuss the laws of Pidyon HaBen, redeeming one's firstborn son by giving a sum of 5 Sela coins to a Kohen, and the scenario which the Mishnah opens up with is Achas Bikra v'Achas Shalei Bikra Shal Shnei Anoshim. Two men are married to two different women. One of them has given birth to her firstborn child previously already, and one of them has not, and between them they give birth to two different sons, who get mixed up together, and we are unsure which son is the one who was born to the woman who has not yet given birth to her firstborn child, in which case the son requires redeeming. Just like we've seen in the past couple of Mishnayos, the father of the firstborn child doesn't need to know which specific child is his firstborn child. As long as he knows that he has a firstborn son, like in this case, he needs to redeem the son, and therefore Zeshla Bikra Ishtai, the man who is married to the woman who has not yet given birth to her firstborn, and therefore just now she gave birth to her firstborn son, he needs to give 5 Sela coins to a Kohen. Now what happens if Zohar and Kevah, between these two women, they give birth to a son and a daughter? In this case, it could be that the firstborn child was the daughter, in which case there would be no mitzvah to redeem her. And just like in any case of a doubt of Pidyon HaBen, the Kohen cannot claim the money until he can prove that he's entitled to that money. And therefore in the case of a doubt, Ein Kana Kohen Klum, the Kohen has no claim on the 5 Sela coins. Now the Mishnah continues to talk about a regular case of Pidyon HaBen. Somebody's wife gave birth to a firstborn son, and that son dies within its first 30 days of life. Even if the father already gave the 5 Sela coins to a Kohen, the Kohen must return to him that sum which he received, since it emerged that the child wasn't actually a child who's considered to have survived. For a few days the child survived, but it's apparent that the entire birth was not a birth of a child who was destined to survive, and therefore the mitzvah did not apply, so the Kohen must return the money to the father. However, if the son died after 30 days, it lived its first 30 days, then even if the father has not yet given the 5 Sela coins, he would be obligated to give them now. Once the child lives for 30 days, then it's very clear that it is a surviving child. The birth was a proper birth to a living child, and just that the child died later on. However, on day 30, the obligation already began and took hold, and therefore, not only would the Kohen not need to give back money if the father had already redeemed him, but if the father has not yet redeemed him, he would be obligated to do so now. Meis b'yom shloshim. What happens if the son dies on its 30th day itself? According to the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, Kiyom Shalafonov, the 30th day is considered to be like the day beforehand, meaning in this case too, we consider the child not to have been a child who the father was obligated to redeem. And this is learned from Psukim that the mitzvah only applies to a child which survives for more than a month old. However, Rabbi Akiva is doubtful. Rabbi Akiva is unsure whether the status of such a child is that of a child which does create an obligation of Pidyon HaBen, of redeeming him, or not, and therefore Rabbi Akiva says, Im Nosan, if the father already gave the money to the Kohen, then lo yitol, he's not able to take it back from the Kohen, because he now needs to bring the proof that he's indeed entitled to take that money back from the Kohen. Vim lo nosan, but if he has not yet given the money, then the Kohen is the one trying to take money from the father. So the regular rule applies that the one trying to take the money is the one who needs to prove that he's entitled to that money, and in the case of a doubt where he cannot prove it, then there would be no obligation to pay the money. If the father dies within the first 30 days of his son's life, and we are unsure whether the father had paid money to a Kohen for the redemption yet or not, well, the obligation certainly does not apply until the 30th day, he's able, technically, to pay the Kohen beforehand. However, this generally was not done, because there is a possibility that the child wouldn't survive, so only once the father knew that he was definitely obligated would he pay the money. So we can assume, b'cheskas shalai nifda, we are able to assume that the child was not redeemed ad sheyovi raya shenifda, unless he can bring a proof that he has not yet been, that he has already been redeemed, and therefore the child himself would need to redeem himself when he reaches the age of bar mitzvah. On the other hand, if the father died after the child already survived 30 days, and we are unsure whether he fulfilled the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen already, we are able to assume that he was redeemed already, unless people tell him that he wasn't redeemed. And the Mishnah implies that we don't even need a real proof, but as soon as people start to make a rumor, as soon as people start to claim at all that the father did not redeem him, that would be sufficient to obligate the child to redeem himself. Now what happens if who lifdeis of no lifdeis? Somebody has himself to redeem because his own father didn't fulfill the mitzvah of redeeming him, and this person also has a firstborn son who he needs to redeem. However, he has not got enough money to pay 5 sela coins to a kohen for both of them. And the Gemara explains we're actually discussing a unique case where this person has, let's say, 5 sela coins, or he has land which is worth 5 sela coins, property, and as well as that, there is also a piece of land which is worth at least 5 sela coins, which this person's father owned and sold to somebody else after he became obligated in the midst of redeeming his firstborn son, which is this person we're talking about. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a kohen has a right to collect the money, that property, even once it's been sold, because he technically had a monetary claim on the worth of 5 sela coins, which gives him the right to collect it from the person's property, and even once he sells it. And because of that, Rabbi Yehuda says that he should use the 5 sela coins or land which he still has right now with him in order to redeem his son. But in order to redeem himself, he is able to use this property which had been sold already, since it was sold after the obligation of redeeming himself began. His mitzvah of redeeming himself is really just a continuation of his father's mitzvah to redeem him. And his father sold this property after he already became obligated to redeem his son. However, according to the Tanakhama, a kohen does not have the rights to collect from property which the father has already sold. And therefore, in this case, we can only talk about the money and the property which he has with him now. And the regular rule in such a case is that hu konos benoi, he would precede his son, meaning you have precedence to redeem yourself before redeeming your son, which is a mitzvah to do with others, on behalf of somebody else. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, benoi koidmoi, redeeming his son comes first, meaning he should redeem his son with the money or property which he has with him now, because only then will he be able to redeem both his son and himself, because regarding redeeming himself, he's able to use that property which his father had sold already. Shemitzvosei al Oviv, because the mitzvah which he has to redeem himself began already with the father, and the father's obligation began before the property was sold, umitzvah b'nai olov, whereas the mitzvah to redeem his son rests upon him, and that obligation began already after that property was sold. So for redeeming his own son, he can only use property or money which he has with him. Mishnah Zayin. When the Mishnah talks about a sela coin, that is equivalent to what is known in the Torah as a shekel. And the Mishnah says, Chomisholom Shalbein, the 5 sela coins of the mitzvah of redeeming one's son, refers to 5 sela coins according to the currency of B'mone Tzairi, the mona coin which was used in the area called Tzairi. When the Torah talks about a shekel, it's referring to a shekel according to this particular value system. Likewise, Shloshim Shel Eved, the fine of 30 shekolim, which the Torah calls shekolim, in the Mishnah's language would be considered 30 seloim, 30 sela. The law is that if somebody's animal kills a non-Jewish slave, then he's obligated to pay the master of that non-Jewish slave a fine of 30 sela, or 30 shekel. And v'chamishim sh'onis v'shishon l'fateh, the fine of 50 shekel, or sela coins, which somebody who forces a woman to have relations with him, or who seduces and convinces her to have relations with him, there is a fine of 50 shekel, or sela coins, which such a person needs to pay that girl's father, u'meyor, and the fine of paying 100 shekel, or sela coins, sh'omitzi shemra, which is given to somebody who makes a false claim that his wife had already had relations unlawfully before they got married. If his claims are found to be false, then he is fined with a fine of 100 shekel or sela coins. All of these amounts which the Torah talks about refers kulon b'shekel hakodesh b'monet zayri, it is all measured, and the amount which the Torah is talking about is the Shekel HaKodesh, which literally means the Holy Shekel, according to the value system and currency of a moneh from Tzairi. Now, this doesn't mean that one has to pay that type of coin, a Sela or Shekel coin, in all of these cases. It just means that when the Torah talked about paying, let's say, 50 Sela, it refers to a value of 50 Sela using this particular value system. However, when you come to actually paying, v'chulom niftim, b'kesef, v'shoa kesef, all of them can be redeemed or paid using regular money or anything which is worth money, as long as it reaches the value which is equivalent to 50 Sela or Shekel coins, which the mission just described. Chutz min hashkolim, except for the donation of a half shekel, which had to be given yearly for the upkeep of things which happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and this donation of a half shekel had to be given with the exact coin of a half shekel coin. One was not able to give something else which was an equivalent value. But regarding pretty the vast majority of all other payments, one is able to pay with anything, it just has to be based on that value, as we explained. Mishnah Ches, it is learned from Psukim that Ein Poidin, one is not able to fulfill the mitzvah of redeeming his firstborn son, Lo Ba'avodim, by using slaves, Lo B'shtoros, or by giving a Kohen a document which will allow him to collect a debt of his, Lo B'karkois, or by giving him land. Although one is able to use anything else which is worth money, these things that are psukim cannot be used. Either because they haven't got intrinsic value, for example, the document is not worth anything itself. It's just a way of getting to something else which is worth money. Or because land is not something which is movable and can be moved about, and it's learned from psukim that that which is used for the redemption needs to be something which can be handed from hand to hand, it can be moved. And in the Psukim, slaves are compared to land, and therefore they have the same law in terms of this. But as it may, the same applies, v'lo b'hekdeshos, also to redeeming something which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash. You would give money to the Beis HaMikdash, as it were, to buy that thing which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash would use that money to buy something else for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, one is able to redeem a Hekdash item, an item belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, even with something which is just worth money. But you cannot use any of the above-mentioned things in order to redeem something which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Mishnah continues, Kosav l'koyein, if somebody writes a document to a koyein, shu chayv l'chomesh sloim, that he is obligating himself to pay that koyein 5 sela coins. For the sake of redeeming his son, says the Mishnah, he's obligated to give the koyein 5 sela coins. However, his son will not be redeemed via giving those 5 sela coins, because that's an additional obligation with which you obligated yourself, beyond the Torah's obligation of Pidgin HaBen itself. Now, that having been said, if you think about it, the father of this firstborn is able to choose whichever coin he likes in order to give the money to him. This particular coin who received the 5 Sela coins, he's able to help this person out. And that is, the Mishnah says, the fichach therefore im rotza coin nitanim ot matono, if the coin wanted to help him by giving him a present of the 5 Sela coins which he received from him, and then the father will just give him back those 5 Sela coins, but this time in order to fulfill the mitzvah of redeeming his firstborn son, Rashi, he is allowed to do that. He won't lose anything by doing so, because otherwise the father would end up just giving 5 Sela coins to a different Kohen. And so he can help the father out, and this way the father wouldn't end up losing more than 5 Sela coins for the sake of this mitzvah. What happens if somebody, Hamafrish Pidyon Benoi, he separates 5 Sela coins and designates them as money for redeeming his son, but he hasn't given it to a koyein, v'ovad, and they get lost, something happens to them beyond his control. Chay b'ach yusoy, he is obligated to replace them and to give a koyein 5 sela coins. Shenema, as the posuk says, yelcho, it shall be for you, and the posuk continues, podi sifter, you shall surely redeem. The point of the Mishnah is that we learn that you only fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen once the money arrives and is considered to be fully the koyein's, and it is not enough just to set it aside and designate it for the koyein. Mishnah Tes, as well as the significance of a firstborn son for the regards to the laws of redeeming Pidyon HaBen, the other area of halacha, of Jewish law, in which the firstborn has halachic significance, is the laws of inheritance, that he receives a double portion in relation to the other brothers when they inherit their father. This Mishnah comes to define when exactly that is true. The firstborn child, the firstborn son, takes a double portion when inheriting his father's property, his father's possessions. But he would not take a double portion when the sons inherit their mother's property. For example, if the mother dies after their father has died, they would inherit her. And it's learned from Pesukim that in this case, the firstborn would split the inheritance equally. He would receive an equal portion to the rest of the children, the rest of the sons. He also does not receive a double portion of the part of the inheritance which improves and increases in value after the time of the father's death. For example, new fruit which grow after the father died, that part of the inheritance is split equally between all the children. And neither would he receive a double portion in money which is supposed to arrive at the father, in the same way as he does receive a double portion for that which already arrived at the father. Meaning, for example, if the father had a loan, somebody owed him money, but he didn't yet receive that money. The person who owed him money will owe the inheritors money as well, automatically. However, since the father did not actually have that money with him at the time of death, he didn't yet receive it, the firstborn son would not receive a double portion of that part of the money, rather it would be that part of the inheritance would be split equally. Now, on a similar note, when a woman is coming to collect the money of her kasuba, the kasuba is a document written at the time of marriage which entitles a woman to a particular amount of money when her husband dies or divorces her. Be as it may, she can only claim from her husband's inheritance that which was there already, not from that which improved and increased in value after his death, or money which came only later, only money which she had at the time. And likewise, the daughters of a man who died, midrabbonon, are supported, they are fed, using the money of the inheritance which he leaves behind. But once again, that only applies to the inheritance of money which was there, which he had already with him at the time of his death, and not that which arrived later on, or which increased in value later on. When increase in value, that means that it was an increase in value due to something new growing. And the last example is, neither would a Yovom receive the inheritance of these parts. The mitzvah of Yibam is when somebody dies without children, there's a mitzvah on that dead man's brother to marry the dead man's wife, the widow. And the law is that when he does so, he performs the mitzvah of Yibam, marrying her. The law is that he inherits all of the possessions of that man who died. And the other brothers who would usually inherit him as well do not. However, that only applies to the main inheritance, but that which came afterwards, like in the other examples which were discussed in the Mishnah, that would be split between all of the brothers. In all of these cases, none of these laws of inheritance and rights which the people in the Mishnah which were discussed have, none of them would apply to that which grew and was produced later on from the father, from the person who died's inheritance, nor from that which was fitting to come to him but didn't yet arrive, for example, a loan, money which somebody else owed him and only paid after the person died.